Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, Mike.
Just curious, how hard is it to put the schedule together in the first place? Like, we're going to talk about the Browns here in a second, but I like, when I think about any professional league putting together a schedule, I think about Major League Baseball, and it wasn't too long ago they had some old couple. I think they were in Brooklyn or Long Island, and they were putting together 162.
Staten Island, the Rosenbergs.
That's who it was. Okay, they must have been pretty special to be able to figure that thing out. So they must be idols to you then. I mean, they're the forerunner of what you had to do.
Yeah, look, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, obviously, before all the computer software and cloud computing and all the tools that we use now were available. I mean, every sports league had to put their schedules together by hand, not just sports leagues, but, you know, everybody doing manufacturing schedules, you know, anybody, you know, in Detroit trying to build a car. I mean, everybody had to do this by hand at one point, and obviously none of us can do by hand what the computers and the software and the hardware and the algorithms and the heuristics can do for us. So it was an impossible task for everybody to do by hand. You know, Val Pinchbeck did the NFL schedule by hand for 30 years. It's not so much a miracle now that all of us use all this hardware and software and we can get through thousands of possible options. But, yeah, the miracle is that any of these guys ever got it done by hand. But as you can imagine, you know, those schedules weren't as good as the schedules we're playing now. Did the world keep spinning? Did all those sports leagues stay in business? Yes, of course they did. But, you know, we've got so many more factors now, and our constituents are so much smarter. You know, we are all talking to each other, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, soccer. We all meet periodically, and, you know, all the schedule nerd community gets together and talk about best practices. And we're all getting a little better. I'm not sure any of us have completely licked it just yet, but it's a very challenging task, and unlike, you know, any other math problem that has a right answer, this one does not. So whatever we come up with, we think it's the best we could do at the time. We know darn well not everybody's going to love it, and not everybody's going to be happy. It is a zero-sum game after all. You know, anything that's good for the Browns is bad for the Bengals. Anything that's good for CBS is probably bad for Fox. So just try to thread that needle, find the balance, and, you know, if not everybody being happy with us, hopefully they're, you know, not too disappointed, and hopefully equally so.
Mike, I would think the NFL, and this is a quick generalization, doing that schedule on one hand is easier than doing the other sports because there are fewer games and fewer conflicts with the venues. On the other hand, I would think the television picture point of this makes it very difficult, you know, having key games for your television partners at the right times. What's the biggest balance point you have when it comes to trying to put together a good schedule? Is there one factor really sticks out?
Yeah, you've got it exactly right. You know, some of the other sports leagues, you know, baseball's playing 162 games, you know, basketball's playing 82. Their solution space, their universe of possible schedules might be a little bit larger, but, you know, to your point, they can play on a Tuesday night on a regional sports network. They can, you know, baseball can have a Yankees-Red Sox series that, oh, it just didn't happen to fall in the right spot. That's okay. There's another Yankees-Red Sox series coming in a couple of weeks. You know, we don't have that luxury. So, you know, we all talk to each other. We all work together. They're all very similar problems. It really just comes down to how do you prioritize what's important to you? And, you know, for the leagues with, you know, maybe more volume in terms of games, they certainly have to manage their venues a little bit differently. They have to manage their travel a little bit differently. You know, when baseball teams go on road trips to the West Coast, they go out there and they stay out there, right? They play six or eight series all kind of right in a row, that West Coast swing. You know, we don't necessarily have that. And, you know, like you mentioned, our season is shorter. Therefore, these games matter so much more, right? You cannot let one slip. You cannot overlook anybody. You know, how many times have we seen a team, you know, beat a good team and then, you know, let slip against somebody that you think they should have beaten. You know, every one of these games matter, and you really can't kind of whiff on one. Well, neither can we. You know, there's only 17 or 18 games on the Sunday Night Football schedule. There's only 9 or 10 Fox 425 Sunday afternoon doubleheaders. We can't really afford, you know, not to have our best product in those windows, and it wouldn't be fair to the fans. You know, it's one thing to generate the ratings and the revenue, but it's another thing to, you know, tell the fans that here's an opportunity for 25 or 30 million of you to catch one of, you know, our biggest games, our best product, must-see TV. If we don't get our best games into those windows, then our fans aren't going to get to see them. You know, they're going to end up Sunday at 1 o'clock with 8 or 9 other games going on and maybe only available in 10 or 15% of the country. That's not us doing a good job getting our stars and our big teams out to all of our fans. So trying to thread that needle, you got it right. We're trying to maximize for our television partners and for fan friendliness and viewership while also trying to minimize on the team competitive issues. There's no team in the league that's going to say, hey, no problem, give me a 3-game road trip if it makes the television schedule better, right? So we got to make sure that, you know, we balance out the pain. There's always going to be some, but hopefully it doesn't fall on the same team over and over again, or at least in the same way over and over again, and try to find that balance between, you know, our television partners and the competitive equity of what is, after all, you know, a sport. We're all trying to win a Super Bowl. We don't want the schedule to ever be getting in anybody's way.
Mike, how does it work? Like, is the schedule out and it's flat with no date, time, or network, and then do you work around it that way, or is there a different way? Do you look at it from an entertainment, and then do the networks get in there and then do like almost like a fantasy football draft on the games that they want? How does this work?
Yeah, we don't share it with anybody. There's no beta version. There's no, hey, what do you think of this? Hey, what would you want to change? We solicit input from all 32 teams and all 7 network partners, and we talk to them throughout the process. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the factors change, right? When Tom Brady retired, everybody had one list of their must-see TV games. Tom Brady unretires,
right,
we have an updated list of must-see TV games. Russell Wilson moves to Denver. You know, all the player movement to Sean to Cleveland, of course. Everybody has to adjust their preferences and their requests as the league changes. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time. This feels like one of the most, you know, volatile off seasons with player movement, you know, not just free agency and stuff like that, but big names, you know. So it was one thing when Brady went to the Bucks a couple of years ago, or Peyton Manning left the Colts. You know, there's always that one guy moving, but it felt like there were 4 or 5 guys moving this offseason. So every time one of those moves happened, we kind of stop and take stock and reassess and reevaluate, and then, you know, reconsider which of these 272 games are must-see TV and worthy of national windows, and which ones have increased in value and which ones have decreased in value. But we don't ever go back out to the teams or the networks with, hey, here's a draft version of the schedule, what do you think? We know their answer. They hate it. So we're never going to do that. We're always going to take input from everybody. And, you know, we're fans like everybody else. We're watching NFL Network, and we're following the Twitter accounts and seeing who's going to move and how that's going to change everything and alter the landscape, and then try to adjust as best we can until, you know, middle of May. We've got to get one out at some point. Everybody's got to start making plans. But like we said, it's basically one big balancing act trying to satisfy all the media partners and making sure that there's no truly unfair team issues. And it's just 6 of us locked in a room or lately on a Zoom, and we don't really go back out to the world with their opinions until the schedule comes out.
Mike North joining us. He's the Vice President of Broadcast Scheduling for the NFL. Deshaun Watson, now a Cleveland Brown. That's wonderful from a quarterback standpoint, from a PR standpoint, with everything going on. It's not a good situation, obviously, Mike. What role does that play when it comes to scheduling the Browns, a team that ends up with 2 national television games?
Yeah, I mean, look, when we last saw him, he was one of the best players in the league, and nobody knows who he's going to be when he cuts back on the field, and nobody knows when that is going to be. We don't know anything more than anybody else right now. So you see this Brown schedule. It wasn't like we strategically deployed primetime appearances based on what we think is going to happen with Deshaun, because we don't know. So you'll see the one national game up early in the season, the Thursday nighter. There's a Monday night football game, you know, in the division, kind of right in the middle. That division now has, you know, so much talent, so many good teams, so many good players. You can't go wrong with any AFC North divisional matchup in any of our national television windows. And then, look, if he plays and the Browns are good and we're in a playoff chase at the end of the year, there's another one of those AFC North games kind of in the flexible scheduling mode of the Saturday pool for NFL Network. So that Ravens-Cleveland game is listed as TBD because we literally don't know yet what day or time. We'll see what happens when we get to week 15 of the season. And a couple of weeks out, we'll see who's playing for what and what the storylines are. And there might be a third national television appearance for the Browns already lined up. And then, of course, if they're in it, as you get to the bottom, you know, nobody knows who's playing for what. When you get down there in the week 17 and 18, you know, one of the things that's kind of interesting about this schedule is that Browns-Steelers game sitting there in week 18. Wouldn't that be interesting if that really had some playoff implications and you get the whole wild card rematch from a couple of years ago and the Browns is the Browns, and wouldn't it be fun to deploy that asset in week 18 in another national window because you know it's going to have playoff implications?
What's the process of determining what games get flexed on the Sunday night? How does that work?
Well, there's a couple of things that have to happen. The first thing that has to happen is, you know, our crystal ball has to be a little cloudy. The Sunday night football game that we put in there here in May, you know, this is 6 months, 7 months away by the time we get to this weekend. You know, sometimes best laid plans, you never know. So you might find yourself with a Sunday night football game that you thought looked good back in May, but by the time you get there in December, it's no longer compelling. There's no playoff implications. It's not as good as you'd hoped. And, you know, you're not doing those teams any favors by leaving them in national television if they're just playing out the string. You're not doing the fans any favors asking them to go out potentially in a cold weather outdoor site for a game without playoff implications. So first thing that has to happen is we have to be, you know, wrong on our thoughts about what we hoped was going to be a good Sunday night football game in some week. Then you have to look at what else is in that week. It wouldn't be fair to CBS and Fox to just, hey, the Sunday night game fell apart. We're going to come take your great game that you've had all year long, waiting and selling it and preparing for it. So you can't really take CBS and Fox's best game. So now you're talking about, you know, the third or fourth best game of the weekend. If there's a game sitting there on a Sunday afternoon that might otherwise only go to 15%, 20% of the country in a regional window on CBS or Fox, and we can move it to Sunday night, and it doesn't, you know, create any unfair challenges for the team depending on where they are the previous week or the following week. You know, a lot of things have to line up for us to be able to actually flex out of a Sunday night game and have another good option to flex into. That's why it doesn't happen that often. It's really only once or twice a year. But when it does, you know, it's an opportunity to reward a team that has played their way into prime time and save a couple of teams that might otherwise not be as compelling as they'd hoped from having to, you know, hold down a national window, ask those fans to come out and sit in the cold. If we're moving you into a national window, acknowledge the challenges for the ticket holders and, you know, the football operations folks, but it's because you're having success. It's because the game means something and our fans want to see it because they're expecting to see you in January in the playoffs.
Did flex scheduling make your job more fun or more stressful?
You know, a bit of both. It's certainly more fun because you do get, you know, a bit of a mulligan. You know, our crystal ball here 6 months out is never as clear as any of us would have liked. So having, you know, a redo if you need one. That being said, you know, this schedule is still a living, breathing item. We're not done with it. Just because we released it last Thursday doesn't mean we're done. We're constantly evaluating, constantly looking ahead. What are we going to do in week 15? Oh, man, the team we thought was going to be good isn't. Or, hey, holy cow, didn't see these guys coming. We got to find a bigger national television window for them somewhere down the road. And, again, it is a zero-sum game, right? You know CBS isn't volunteering to give up one of their really good games just so NBC can be better. And same thing on the club side, right? No club is going to say, yeah, sure, we'd be thrilled to play on the road across the country in prime time, knowing we're on the road again next week and the team we're playing next week is coming off their bye week. So it's still a little stressful. It's trying to balance everybody's expectations about the best we can do is just be honest, transparent. You know, if you get flexed, you're not going to be surprised. So we tell the clubs weeks and weeks in advance, hey, you can see it as well as we can. The Sunday night game in week 15 or 16, maybe not as strong as we'd hoped. You're obviously playing well. You're playing an opponent that weekend that is also playing well. And Fox and CBS still have other inventory. So got to tell you right now, you're a candidate for flexible scheduling. You should definitely start thinking about it.
Mike, the new Thursday night package with Amazon changed things how for you guys?
Well, it's obviously going to change fan behavior. I mean, it's been a long time since we've onboarded a new broadcast partner, right, since Fox came on in the early 90s. So it's been 30 years since we've had a new destination for fans to go find our games. And obviously a streaming service sounds futuristic and sounds different, but you know, I think the more we all think about it, the more comfortable we've all become. You know, we can find Amazon Prime, we can find Hulu, Peacock, Paramount. You know, I think our generation has certainly figured it out. I think if not, our kids will certainly help us find these channels. My mother may need a little help when she goes looking for the games, but we're all going to find it. And I think as you look at it, you know, if you look at this Thursday schedule, this Thursday night schedule that Amazon has this year, I think it compares pretty favorably as you look over the past couple of years, whether it was on Fox or NBC or CBS. It's a good Thursday night football schedule, knowing that you're going to have 28, 29, 30 of the 32 teams on the Thursday package, just because most teams are only going to play one short week Thursday and everybody's going to play at least one. So you're kind of, again, spreading out the balance. You can create a couple of A versus A matchups, right? If you're thinking about a Baltimore, Tampa, or a Tennessee, Green Bay, or even that Chiefs Chargers game as their opener in week two. If you've got A's versus A's, you know that probably means you're bringing with it a couple of B's versus B's. We could go with a steady diet of A minus B plus games, or we can try to create a couple of these tentpole A versus A's and then hope that some of those ones that look right now like B's versus B's, you know, at least maybe they're division games that have some playoff implications later in the season. None of us know. But I think if you look at this Thursday schedule, I think it compares pretty favorably, pretty consistently with previous year's Thursdays. I think that's a sign that, you know, the NFL is thinking about Amazon as, you know, a broadcast partner like everybody else. No special favors, but also, you know, expecting them, you know, to deliver the product in a way that our fans want to see it and will be willing to go look for it and find it when we've got a really good game to be watched.
Mike, last question for you, too, especially with Amazon coming on. And you talked about, you know, what the new world kind of could look like with other streaming and where we are. Could you ever see a window? And I always go back to Big Ten basketball because I think Big Ten basketball is unique that, like, when Big Ten Network first came out, every basketball game has its own time slot and that they can play like that. Now, I know basketball and the NFL are a little bit different, but could you envision a world where maybe every game has its own window, its own time window, so that you only played one game at a time? And you know, just the whole theory of Sunday afternoon football and having multiple games at 1 o'clock, I wonder what that looks like in the future. Just curious what you think.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting idea. I mean, obviously, we think of each of these 272 games as, you know, valuable assets for our fans. You know, I probably watch most of them. I don't know that everybody else could watch, you know, all 272 games every season. I don't know that we've got enough time slots and days of the week where we could, you know, deploy 16 games across a weekend and have all of them be national windows. But we're certainly inching towards it, right? You've got some weekends when you think about it, you know, Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays and holidays. And, yeah, we're certainly getting to a point where on some of these weekends you might have 6, 7, 8 national television games. You know, again, I think you're asking a lot from all of us to spend that much time, you know, interacting with the product across an entire weekend like that. But you're also asking a lot of the scheduling team and Howard Katz and the group trying to figure out how to find 7 national television-worthy games for weekend X 4 or 5 months before we even get to that weekend. So that's where some of the flexible scheduling comes in. It's hard, obviously, 6 months out to predict which of these games are going to matter. So maybe to your point, you get to, you know, kind of later in the season, a few extra windows, a few additional broadcast outlets, and you use flexible scheduling and whatever, you know, levers we can pull to try to get the big games into the biggest windows. At the end of the day, fans just want to see the best games. If we've got more people that are interested in helping us provide them to our fans, I'm sure that's something that we'll consider. It's not going to be anytime soon, though, right? These new media deals that we sign that kick in next year, they're 11-year deals. I don't expect, you know, the real fabric of the NFL television, you know, distribution model to change in the next 10 years. But none of us know what the world's going to look like 5 years from now. It looks very different than it did 5 years ago. And I'm sure the NFL will continue to explore options to deliver the product to the fan. And look, the fans are going to tell us what they want, right? If we try to deploy 6 or 7 national windows across a weekend and the fans only watch 2 or 3 of them, they're telling us what they're willing you know, to accept and what they're willing to go do to look for our product. You know, these 9:30 a.m. London games are fun and interesting, but obviously there's probably a ceiling to the number of eyeballs we can deliver there. It's going to be learning experiences for us all. We'll see what the world looks like over the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. But every game in a national window might be a bit of a stretch, but we're certainly inching in that direction. And look, we've got so many of these good young teams and good young quarterbacks. Love to display them all if we could. Love to have this opportunity for more fans to watch more games on national partners if we can.
But it kind of sounds like, I take it from that, the 1 o'clock start kind of locked in, you know, flexible type thing. Like 4 o'clock
look,
starts so or 4:25.
There's history there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, it wasn't that long ago that all the games were only 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock on a Sunday, and then we added Monday nights, and everybody said, "Oh, that'll never work." Right? The Browns were in the first Monday night game. Everybody said, "That'll never work. It's a school night. It's a work night." Well, that's done okay. You know, then Sunday nights, and then Thursday nights, and then Saturday afternoons, and now 9:30 a.m. London. You know, we'll keep exploring. We'll keep looking for new ways to innovate and deliver the product to the fans. And if they're interested, they'll let us know, and we'll go find it. But to your point, I do think Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock is, you know, it's been good to the NFL, right? It's been
sure
good
has.
To the fans. It's been good to our families. This is what we do on Sunday afternoon. We watch the local team at 1 o'clock. We watch a big doubleheader game at 4. If the Sunday night game is compelling, which hopefully the schedule makers picked one that is, we'll watch on Sunday night, come back again for Monday night, and you catch your breath Tuesday and Wednesday, and boom, you get to start all over again with Thursday night. So we're pretty prevalent across the dial and across the days of the week, but, you know, Sunday at 1 o'clock still feels like home for NFL.
Oh, well, the Browns know it. We've been there plenty of times over the years since 1999, so we're good with it.
Yeah, but you know also, right? You remember the year where Derek Anderson took him to 10-6, and the next year it was, what, 5 primetime games
exactly.
And a couple of doubleheader windows. That's the beauty of the league right now, right?
And then we let you down, Mike.
All the time. Well, you didn't let us down. You let your fans down, maybe. But, hey, you gave it a couple of years, and you're right back in it. We're in the playoffs. We got a playoff win. You know, we are clearly trending in the right direction. The division's clearly gotten good, right? It's clearly gotten tougher. And like I said, I'm loving the idea of AFC North divisional matchups sprinkled throughout our schedule and across all of our broadcast partners for hopefully the next 10 years. This is exactly what the league wants to see. Everybody in it, everybody thinking on day one that they've got a chance to win a Super Bowl. And look, best laid plans sometimes you know, don't work out the way you want. And if the Browns are worthy of some additional national television later in the season, we'll find a way to get them in the national windows and use flexible scheduling tools to make sure that more fans get to watch more Browns games.
Mike, awesome conversation. Really enjoyed it. And maybe a year from now we'll talk about this again. I'd love to talk to you again sometime soon.
Anytime.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Take Mike care, North from the NFL, Vice President of Broadcast Scheduling on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.